This is a previously recorded episode. This show is broadcasting live from Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming and is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Coming to you from the Detroit Sound Studios above Activate Gaming, it's The Undercard. Bringing you the best in hand combat coverage with feature interviews, major events, and the hottest ring girls from around the nation. The Undercard is part of the Podcast Detroit Network. And now, here they are, always in your corner, Brad, Marv, and Jimmy.
Welcome to another episode of The Undercard, everybody. It is episode 190. We are officially out of the 80s, so the music will get better to some. To me, it'll get worse, the music. I'm a big 80s music fan.
You missed me.
I missed you on the Snapchat.
Oh, well.
It's not like it's the last Snapchat tonight, okay?
Right, exactly.
Exciting news that has nothing to do with boxing and MMA besides we're in a new studio. So thank you to Bob,
yay!
Dave, and Podcast Detroit. They always underpromise and overdeliver, and they come through again. So this is our third official studio. This is probably the nicest of all of them.
Well,
it has multiple rooms.
Right, exactly. That's the big thing.
A nice bathroom. You could literally lay down with five of your friends in there.
And two other things in there.
Exactly. Yeah, you could get showered off in there if someone pukes on you, which might happen.
Put their head in there.
But this place is really nice. So we are officially now in Royal Oak, not Ferndale, Michigan.
Yes, we are now in Royal Oak. We are now snobs.
I know, exactly. So our coffee will reflect that. It'll just be Starbucks from now on. And
I hope you're paying for that, because even though we're in Royal Oak, I still live in Hamtramck.
Right.
I don't do Starbucks.
Right. The best part about this place is that I caught whiff of a Mexican restaurant like on the corner there. What's the name of it, Sarah? Sarah was just...
Is it like Carolinas or something like that?
Yeah, I don't know. It looks good. Angeline? Angeline's? I don't know. Mm. Anyways,
we'll have
I'm
to
excited.
Look for
Angelina?
It, yeah.
Excited.
Jolie?
No.
Very
no.
excited about it. New studio, new digs. So just look for pictures on our Facebook. Follow us on facebook.com/radio_undercard. We're joined by... I always get this title wrong, Sarah, so don't get mad. Miss Michigan Supranational.
That's supernatural.
Supranational.
She's not a ghost. She's not a demon.
Supranational.
Yeah. Supranational. Yeah.
Also an undercard ring girl, and we're going to be talking about her eventful week coming up, and she's got a going away party coming up. And then Jimmy, as always, and then Rochelle working the board. But we got a pretty good show. Actually,
yes,
a really good show.
We do.
So if
very
you guys don't
show.
Know, I sit on the board of the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves. And this year, the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves sent a team out to Salt Lake City. And our team came in second overall.
Yes.
And I've been told from the historians that this hasn't happened in 30 years. We had two national champions and a bronze medal winner. And all... those people that I just mentioned will be here.
Along with their coach.
Yeah, Chad,
yes. Yep.
Who does an awesome job. I got to tell you a great story about Chad. When my eyes were all effed up.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, Chad found out I was at U of M Hospital. He came to visit me.
Oh, did he?
No,
he was already there, but he visited me.
Yeah, I don't...
Way to ruin it, Rochelle. Make him sound more, you know, than... You
no,
know.
It was a very sweet gesture.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, he didn't.
He wasn't on the
like,
floor of my that I was on. But
right,
he did
right. He had to actually walk, you know, 50 to 100 feet to go.
He asked if I needed anything. I thought it was very nice. I'm actually looking for the names here. I can't find. I know I don't want to butcher a name here really quick. Hold on.
Are you looking for whose names?
The guest names. I had them written down.
Oh, we got Marcus Motown Bully Carter, Isaiah Jones, Tommy Robinson, and Chad
We don't know how to pronounce
it. I'm going to say Jaquallard.
Never asked him.
Yeah, and then we also have later on in the show Stephanie Sphere, who's a pro boxer. And we, like Brad said, we'll be talking to Sarah, our ring girl, and Miss Michigan Supranational. She's got an event coming up in Florida, which is the Nationals, right?
Yes.
Okay, yep. It's the Nationals. Okay. So, yeah, we'll be talking to her about that and a bunch of other stuff, too.
Maybe just maybe the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves team can give her some tips on how to go take Nationals and just, you know,
yeah, there
own
you
it,
go. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like what they did.
Yep.
You know,
I think their strategy might be a little bit
more
different.
Aggressive?
Yeah, a little bit. Well, I mean, you know, I mean,
the beauty pageants I saw in movies, I was gonna say, they're a little different than that.
I know a couple of people who have been in beauty pageants, you know, a little elbow here, a little bump there, you know, make her trip when she's walking down the runway, and I'm just saying.
A lot of girls trip on the runway on purpose.
Because, oh, really?
Yeah, because So if you trip, but you have a really good comeback, like you brush it off like nothing happened. That can impress the judges.
So they're soccer players taking an intentional dive.
Basically,
okay.
Because she's clumsy but agile.
Right? Exactly. Have you ever done that?
No, but okay. I did trip over the lights on accident. Like, no one saw, though, but...
I'm sure there's a practice walkthrough, right? Where you count the steps.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The actual pageant, it's all rehearsal for, like, 6 hours.
Can you just rehearse too long for that, though?
Yeah. Like, you do the whole...
Wear yourself out mentally?
Yeah. Well, there's, like, choreography, so, like, different times, different people walk. And then, so you do that for the first half of the day, and then you do a complete show run over, and then you do a dress rehearsal.
Now, you don't do talent, but you do swimsuit, right?
Yeah, that's our talent.
Swimsuit is talent.
Next to, like, smiling and waving, that's our talent.
Smile and wave, boys. Smile and wave. it sounds a lot, I was just about to say, it sounds a lot like the day before you graduate from basic training. The entire day is spent, okay, this row, you stand up, you turn right, and you file out.
Yeah,
and then, but see, I think the only difference is when you screw it up, you yourself are going, ah, God dang it. When we screw it up, there's a drill sergeant right in your face going, what's your problem? Blah, blah, blah.
Lord. Yeah.
Yeah.
We do have like a choreographer, though, that'll get upset with us if we mess up the choreography.
Oh, okay.
So, do you got a nanny that watches and makes sure you behave that week?
We have pageant moms.
Oh.
Even at your age?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Oh. You don't want the girls out drinking the night before?
Well, but, you know, I mean, I would think at this age, you know, bracket or whatever, you could do whatever you wanted to do.
It's more just like if you get caught, like, doing something you shouldn't be doing, and it's something that's gonna like damage the name of the pageant. It's just someone there to make sure you get disqualified. Like,
So they're not so much pageant moms as they're pageant snitches.
Yeah, that, and it's like they take us out if we have to leave because we have to stay with the pageant at all times.
Gotcha. So, I got.
They're like our chaperones.
Have you been working on flirting with judges with your eyes?
I don't know who the judges are yet.
I know, but you gotta work.
Oh, yeah, like the.
There you go.
The side eye, yep.
Like I'm in
the
Michigan.
Side eye?
The side eye,
I was going to say, so explain the side eye.
So when you walk past, you look at them, but then when like you're walking away, you side eye them. It's all the way off the stage. Like, you just keep looking at them.
So your body keeps moving forward, but your eyes lock on them, and your head moves in conjunction so that you're always looking
at
them.
But it has to be, like, so that people in the audience aren't going to notice you're doing it. It has to be stealth.
So it's the Mona Lisa where the eyes are following, but it can't be overly pronounced.
Yep.
Gotcha. I'm learning all this, the inside traits to the beauty pageants. This is incredible.
There's a lot because of what happened this year where, or it was last year, Steve Harvey. Announcing. I think I learned more about pageants because him announcing the wrong, you know, they told how it's done and everything.
Well,
I think in the last year I've learned more about pageants than I have in my whole life.
There's still that conspiracy theory that he did it wrong specifically for that reason to bring attention to the pageants, because all of a sudden when he screwed it up, it was in the news everywhere.
I think it was.
And I think it was an intentional thing. Yeah.
Do you get a question too?
Yes. Yep. We have to actually our whole because we're interviewed as well. Most pageants, the interview is like done privately. Our interview is on stage, and we have an on stage question.
I'd be scared of the bathroom one right now.
But don't you get like samples of them?
No.
No.
Wait, you said the interviews are usually done private, but yours is done on stage. What is an interview question then?
It can be any. I've had questions that are like, if you were a tree, what kind of tree would you be? Oak, and then I've had
absolutely.
Other ones. Yeah. I've had other ones that were like really hard questions, like questions about like, abortion, oh. questions about, and you have to answer it very politically correct.
Wow.
So it's like really stressful.
Is there, I mean, on a hot button topic like that, is there a politically correct answer?
Sometimes there's not, and you just
you pick the worst.
You just have to like plow just say it. Something.
Okay. I'd be studying the most, bathroom issues right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, the most important thing is that you answer the question.
Okay.
Like a lot of people, when you ask them a hard question, they'll kind yep. of like, especially politicians, they'll like right. kind of
skate
say something.
It, yeah.
You have to answer the question. Okay. Like, yes. No. Why? And then done.
Well,
I think we learn what all politicians need to do before they become a politician is
yeah.
get into beauty pageants.
Right. Do you, is it true you guys use double-sided tape and
yes.
stuff to hold it all in?
Actually, we use butt glue.
Butt glue?
Yes. It's this glue. It's like,
is it made from butts?
No, but like oh. we – it's oh, I don't I know why it's called butt glue, but we put it –
So your bathing suit doesn't rise.
Yeah, but yeah. we use it on our like dresses and stuff too. It's just
does it wash off?
It sticks everything in the proper place.
Yeah, it's kind of like okay. what makeup artists use to like stick on latex.
So it's like spirit
it's like,
gum?
Yeah, it's like okay. a but it's
an aerosol
gross.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like
okay. I know what you're talking about. All right.
From Elmer's.
Can you get yeah. us some butt glue for
exactly.
our anniversary?
You get
yes.
yeah. Aiden, my son's going into the sixth grade. They'll be, you know, in his list of things to bring for school.
Butt glue.
Yeah, what?
You need a thing of rubber cement.
You need to stop being a bully.
Yeah. You need a thing of rubber cement. You need some crayons. You need some butt glue. You need a ruler. You need a calculator.
We also use just straight up duct tape.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Duct tape fixes everything.
Yeah.
Actually,
and if you're behind on voting, it can probably secure the front runner in a closet long enough for you to get the title and get out of town.
There you go.
Just plan it accordingly.
Right.
So anyways, we got a little bit to talk about before we bring in our first guest. They're on their way anyways. A lot has happened. So last week we had Teflon Ron.
Yeah.
Say that this Mayweather-McGregor fight's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
He said December.
Mm-hmm.
Then afterwards, as I'm following stuff release, it seems like he's right on because
yep.
somebody says it's going to happen New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Now what we have reporting, I believe it's from Fox Sports News. Fox Sports. Colin Cowherd is firm on believing this fight will end up taking place in September. But what you're seeing now is everybody saying that this fight is going to happen.
Yep. We said it first.
We were the ones that
yeah.
did break it,
yep.
not to brag.
Well,
and
you know.
Thank you, Ronnie.
Yeah. And, you could give us credit. You know, Fox, TMZ.
TMZ should have gave
ESPN.
Us credit.
Yeah.
Marv doesn't think TMZ should have
well,
gave us credit.
Because
I think TMZ should have gave us credit.
TMZ's story was not about that it was going to happen. Their story was about how much Mayweather was going to give McGregor for it to happen. So I can kind of see the whatever. But we broke it. Just putting it out there for all you news
We're
outlets.
Get shirts that made say we broke it.
Yep, exactly.
So.
For all, you know, you ESPNs, you Fox Sports, you know, whatever, TMZs, we broke it. Thank you. Or mm-hmm. you're welcome.
You're welcome. It's funny. I have two boxing fans that I talk to a lot.
No, go ahead.
No. One,
I say I know who they are.
No, you might not.
Oh,
well,
okay.
One is Aaron.
Well, of course.
And Aaron is not so sure if he likes this fight because he's a boxing purist. And then Scotty Buck, who
okay. Not the other one I was thinking of.
He is very excited about this fight.
Yeah.
Just like me. I mean,
I'm excited for it. I am.
You realize, like, when Mayweather Pacquiao came around,
yeah.
our show was, had a lot of listeners, people. It's
yeah.
good for us. I'm not going to be an idiot and
well,
say that this isn't good for us.
Well, we are also a boxing and MMA show, and
dude,
that's the best of both worlds. Dude, I mean.
And if no one knows this story, and I've told it a few times, when The Undercard was a TV show and we combined the two, people thought we were crazy. They honest to God did. Yeah. But from a behind-the-scenes standpoint, they were the same sports, just not what happened in the rings and everything
Exactly.
And now everybody mixes and mash.
Yep.
Matches it. Like, I mean, it's like, you know, I remember like
people, OG.
I know. I remember people saying you can't mix the two. But anyways, Scotty Buck is of the same impression that I am that this is good. Any attention to boxing is good because look at it this way. Maybe there's a kid out there who isn't into boxing, or maybe there's an individual that isn't into boxing, but will watch the McGregor fight and then gets hooked. You know, hey, maybe I like boxing, the spectacles.
Right.
You know, the excitement. So I'm excited that this thing, it looks like for sure is going to happen.
Yeah.
You know, we'll wait and see. Obviously, Mayweather's going to be a huge favorite in that.
Of course. I mean.
I know there's some Vegas companies that do have odds out already. But, I mean, Mayweather winning by decision
would probably be... I don't see that happening.
You'd probably have to wager $50 to win 50 cents.
Yeah, I don't...
So, like, I mean, it would be crazy odds. Anyways.
I don't see... I don't necessarily see Mayweather knocking out McGregor, but I see McGregor no longer able to finish. Does that make any sense? Like, I don't see him, like, out for the 10 count. I see, like, a TKO or unable to answer the bell because of all the body shots and stuff that Mayweather's going to get to him. Or Mayweather's going to do what he always does, which is cover up, throw the, you know, one-twos or whatever, and basically kind of move around McGregor and kind of show McGregor how slow he is and not worry about getting the knockout, just getting the points and winning by decision.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Mayweather's going to be just Mayweather. He's going to adapt to what McGregor gives him. That lead right, probably my favorite punch in boxing when Mayweather was off and rolling. We'll be there all night, probably. You know, that's all we got really to say about that. We're going to move on subject. Canelo,
yes.
My boy, gave up his WBC title.
Yeah, and I actually agree with him doing that. And the reason is I don't think it was prudent, and I don't think it was okay that the governing body said, look, you either have to do this fight at this time, you know, on our conditions, or you have to give up the belt. So Canelo, I don't think everybody's talking about Canelo and that, oh, he's dodging Triple G. I don't think that's what it is. I think Canelo wants to face Triple G. He just wants to face Triple G, like, you know, on his terms. So Cinco de Mayo next year, he wants one feeder fight before that to kind of warm up and then go to Triple G. Gives Triple G another chance to get a feeder fight too and then meet Canelo and Cinco de Mayo. I think that was the real reasoning behind it.
Well, a couple bad things here, though, really quick. Reporting here. Let me get exactly who's reporting. So Bad Left Hook is reporting that since Canelo has turned in the belt, there has been no negotiation talks about this fight happening. But this is my theory. My theory is that Canelo does not want to talk about this fight because Mayweather, you don't know where Mayweather's going to fall. How can you negotiate a fight when knowing that Mayweather McGregor is going to steal any thunder you have.
Right, yes.
So let Mayweather and McGregor figure out their thing.
Yeah.
And then you determine if you're going to do it this year. I think at the latest we see this fight happening, Cinco de Mayo.
Yeah.
I was a little bit disappointed after Canelo said invited Golovkin to the ring, gave that speech, for him to just give up the WBC title. But it is what it is.
Yeah.
Potential people out there, I'd love to see Canelo go against Lemieux.
Okay.
I would like, in a perfect world, even though that he's declined the fight in the past, I'd love Golovkin to get a shot at Billy Joe Saunders over in Europe. I'd like even the fight in New York or in Europe, and I'd like him to try to get the fifth title and have all five titles. But I know Billy Joe hasn't wanted to fight that before, so he might not want to fight it. And then if he doesn't want to fight it, there's not much for Golovkin to do out there. Because no one wants to fight the guy. He's kind of waiting in limbo for Canelo. And you know what? The one thing that people aren't talking about how shitty is it to get the WBC title? I mean, that's the title. We talk about it all the time in here. That's the green title, the Ferrari leather. The That's the one you want. It's not the same for Golovkin just to be handed the freaking thing, you know? And
right.
I bet you deep down he's a little bit disappointed.
Yeah.
Probably wanted to win it from a champion. So this thing all around sucks. And then getting the report from Bad Left Hook that they are not even talking or negotiating the fight. But the business side of it is simple. I mean, Canelo can fight another three or four fights before he even has to fight Golovkin because there's so much marketability behind the guy. There could be safer fights out there for him, make a lot of money, and then do it. The bad thing for Golovkin is he's not as young as Canelo, and he probably doesn't have as much time to wait, and he doesn't have any fighters out there and any options out there. So those are the big problems for Triple G, and we'll continue to watch those stories. But we're going to be coming up on a break here in a few minutes, and I wanted to mention, as we covered everything boxing there really quick, Jimmy, as you know, I talked about it a little bit in our little pre-meeting over there, so I think you're okay with it. We've been trying to find Jimmy a suitable woman for his life.
A suitor.
A Mrs. Jimmy. And what has happened is that he's had a little bit of string of bad luck. He's had some bad ladies come into his life. And then he's trying to figure out his way through how dating now works. And God bless him because it's so – I don't know Tinder. Never been on Tinder. But it's a whole new world out there, the swipe right and all this stuff that's out there.
Well, there's also Bumble now too.
What's Bumble?
Bumble is similar to Tinder except it's ladies go first. So you put your profile on there, and then you can swipe, yes or no as a guy, but you're not allowed to send a message unless you're a female. So the females are the first ones to do. And guess how many messages?
The queen of the hive.
Yeah, exactly. It's called Bumble, and it's a bumblebee theme kind of thing or whatever. But guess how many messages I've gotten on Bumble?
Zero. You know what would be awesome, though, if on Tinder you could rate how good the sexual partner was so that even the swipe right becomes more of a thing? You know what I'm saying? Like a 5-star, like somebody gives them a 5-star, you'd be like, that guy's pretty good in the sack.
Yeah.
And then you swipe right, right?
Yeah.
Or if somebody's like, you know, like, what's the rating system?
Them.
Yeah, Yelp. Exactly.
Yelp like somehow Yelp combines with Tinder.
Yeah, you know? Like Yelp meets Tinder, yeah. No, and then
2-second review.
Yeah.
Got a little freaky with the biting, but okay.
No, and then
stitches this time around.
So the last time we went through this, the only site that I was on was Plenty of Fish. But because I've had a couple of people suggest some other sites, I decided to go on to other sites besides just Plenty of Fish to see what happens. I'm a big geek, so somebody suggested I do Geek to Geek. Somebody suggested I do eHarmony, so I decided to get on eHarmony and also on Match.com because they had success on Match.com. And I've been sending out a lot of messages, and so far I had only had one person that was talking to me. And then this past Saturday, we were supposed to meet for drinks. And we decided we were going to meet for drinks down the road from where I live. And I went there. I ordered a beer. She walked in. She shook my hand. She said, nope, and turned around and left.
So yep. Shitty.
What are you sending as messages? That's my question.
Hi.
Oh, okay.
How are you?
He just keeps it real.
Maybe
yeah.
You should, like...
No, I mean it's nothing like even yeah. that, but, like... And that's the thing is, it's usually, like, I'll send a message, hey, I'm, you know, I liked your profile. Or another thing is, like, I sent a couple of messages where, like, you know, the profile pic is, the person smiling in it. And they have a very lovely smile. So that is what I say. I said, hey, I just wanted to let you know that I think your smile is absolutely gorgeous. You have a very, very nice smile.
Are those real or veneers?
No, I don't even say that. But, yeah, and then most of the time I don't get any messages back. But, like, this one, you know, woman was finally responded to me or whatever. And the only thing I can think of, and everybody's like, oh, my God, blah, blah, blah. Here's what I think might have happened. I think she has terrible anxiety and that she built herself up to try to go out and meet somebody. And then when she got there, it just got the best of her and she just, like, couldn't do it. So she said nope and then left.
Or that, or she's like Satan or something.
No, well, I'm okay. Do you ever watch The Big Bang Theory?
No.
Okay, never mind then. There's a thing that happened with Raj, uh-huh. which sounds very similar to this, where he was at a comic book store for Valentine's Day. He made a little speech, and the girl says, "Hey, I liked what you said." He said, "Do you want to go get some coffee?" She said, "Okay." They went to go get some coffee. They sat down. She said, "I gotta go to the bathroom," and then climbed out the window. Well, it turns out that she just has very bad anxiety, and she was trying to put herself out there, and it was just too much for her. So I'm hoping that that's what happened with this woman.
Well, when did this happen?
Saturday night.
Have you heard from her?
No. But she deleted her profile.
Ooh.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. So,
did she delete her profile, or did you get blocked?
It says the person is no longer available.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know if that means...
Way.
Yeah. So I don't know if she blocked me or if she completely deleted it, but weird. I couldn't send a message.
That is really
so.
Weird, though.
Yeah. So I'm thinking that's probably what it is, and who knows, but yeah. So.
We're going to find you somebody soon, Jimmy.
Yeah.
We've been working on it for 3 years.
Like, podcast Detroit
we're going to find
we tried that.
Soon.
Wait, really?
It's just the point.
Yeah, we've done a dating show on
They've done a dating show with me. Yeah, that's where we got... our formal, you know, social media director. She was actually my choice.
Oh.
Yeah.
We thought he should have went with the other girl. Because we thought they
No,
they had
but
a
I told
connection.
You I told you that the reason I didn't
but
pick
that
her
was just a first impression thing. I think that it would have been
I don't know.
More
we'll see.
Substantial than
Do you have her number?
Number one.
Who?
Number the one that didn't
Two?
Win that night, yeah.
No.
Oh. No. We should find the number and see what
oh,
she's
we can
up
get
to.
It.
What you up to, number two?
Who does number two work for?
Exactly.
Jimmy. No. Jimmy's available again. Would you like to play again? This time we'll give her a bye to the final round.
Yeah.
We'll give two girls go at it, and then she meets the winner of those two girls.
Any girl
she's
that
a return.
Participates can get a free gift two. Off the table.
Ooh, I like those gifts on the table.
Three girls
really
enter,
bring
one
in.
Girl leaves. Yeah, there you go. There's some incentive.
They're pink.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, we're going to go to our first break. We got some guests that are starting to wander in here, so this is going to be fun. Lots of boxing to talk about, so stay tuned. You're listening to The Undercard on PodcastDetroit.com.
Well, we're moving on now.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome back to The Undercard, episode 190, as the show rocks and rolls and keeps going. I have no idea. Anyways, we are joined right now by the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves coach that helped bring home the second place national victory. Also, he is a coach at Dynamic Gym. What city is that again?
Westland.
I know the road, but it's like I always got to think. One side's Garden City, the other side's Westland. But I'm going to get the name right. Chad Jaculard.
Close. That'll work.
Jaculard. All right, that's close enough. Yeah. So tell us a little bit. We're waiting on one fighter to get here. Isaiah Jones, I believe, is on his way. Tell us a little bit about this team. You've been around amateurs for a while. You yourself is a former boxer and stuff. This team had a little special feel to it, some characters in there. Last year, I don't think people expected too much of us, but we did well as a team out there. That was in Vegas last year. But this year... even taking a step further, growing on that. Talk a little bit about that.
This year was another young team like we had again last year. And last year, Marcus Carter and Isaiah Jones both won the bronze medal last year in Las Vegas. And so we had high hopes for those guys going in. Everybody else on the team, it was a young team, so we didn't know what to expect. We knew they had talent, but around here they're talented. But when you compare them against the national scene, you don't know what you're going to get until we get out there. But everybody on that team performed unbelievable. They left everything in the ring. They didn't pull no punches. They fought their butts off every time they got in the ring. And I just couldn't have been happier. The big surprise of the tournament was Tommy Robinson, 17 years old, first time at the Nationals. He should be wearing a championship belt as well, because I really thought that he won that fight that he lost a split decision to in the semifinals.
All right, let's talk. Isaiah Jones is now joining us, which is exciting. Champion, buddy, how's that feel?
being champion feels really good. The best part of being about being champion is just having a team behind you to support you. Going down there, doing what you was told, and not holding back any punches, and doing what you came to do.
Now, for people that don't know, they qualify at our local tournament, the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves. And how many coaches did we send?
We sent two coaches, myself and Brad Todd from Super Bad Gym, and then also Eric McGuire from A Squared in Ann Arbor. He was out there as well and helped out.
So what happens is sometimes the fighters, their original coaches don't go out there with them, but they now become a team under some coaches. Was there any adjustment to that? Have you worked with Chad before? No, Chad?
Last Golden Glove, you know, I made it in third place, and we worked together. You know, he was there with the other team, and we have worked together before. Yeah.
So last year you got a bronze, and this year you obviously had a goal of winning it all. Was there a part during the tournament that you realized this was going to happen?
I really had no idea this was going to happen. I just, you know, wanted to win. You know, I wanted to go there and, you know, do my best, do my hardest, and do what I came to do, you know, prepare myself for the better, you know.
Now, everybody always wonders about an amateur's career, because amateur boxing doesn't get as much attention as pro boxing. And, what's the drive now that you're a national champion in the Golden Gloves? Are you going to come back and defend this? Are you looking to maybe go pro?
The plan is I'm going to go pro. I just prepping myself for pro, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I am. Not too long. By the end of this year, you know, with a few more, you know, amateur fights, just for the warm up for pro, I think I will be ready. No, definitely ready for pro.
Now I go back to the coach of the team, Chad over here. There's probably a few people that might be ready on our team to go pro. What about Isaiah? You feel he's ready?
His style is definitely more of a pro style, because when we were out there, I think he lost the first round in almost every fight, just because he got that pro style, and he it takes him a minute to get rolling, you know. But there's nobody in this country. Obviously, he's a champion now. He proved it, that there's nobody that can hang with this guy for three rounds. They can get him the first round, and then after that, Isaiah just works at him and works and works and wears him down. And you have to attribute that to his coach, who's here with us, Greg Culverson, and his other coach, Kenny. They prepared him well. I had my job was easy. I'm not going to lie. I had the pleasure of working the corner with Isaiah this time. But he was well prepared, and that's the bottom line. It wasn't like he came out there and I, you know, taught him how to box or fight. You know, it's already been set up. He was already there and ready to go, and I just, coached him, and we made a few adjustments in a couple of fights, and it worked out great.
That's a huge compliment to get from Chad, that you're able to mid-fight adjust to the situation you're given. Is that something that mentally, the first round, you are feeling out your opponent, or is it you kind of feeling in your range too?
Well, the first round, like he said, you know, I go up there and get kind of like a feel of the opponent, you know, to see where is he at, you know, mentally and physically. Can he take a punch? Is he fast? Is he match the speed? And then I kind of like work from there, you know.
The danger in that being there's only three rounds, and that the next two rounds you got to push it, because you can't wait for that wacky judge to not give one of those rounds and then have a bad decision there and stuff like that. Talk about some of your teammates. Me and Chad were talking. You guys are a bunch of characters. It's a really cool team. It really is. When you think about it, people will be talking about this team for a while. You guys all know each other because you grow up around each other and stuff. Talk about some of the teammates you like and some of the moments that you enjoyed from these last 2 years.
Well, pretty much every moment I join with my teammates, you know, we have a lot of hard fighters on our team, you know, that should have been there and deserved to win, you know. But unfortunately, they took a couple from our fighters, and just the characteristic about the team, you know. You know, uplifting, you know, when you see a teammate down, how they come over and they uplift your spirit, you know, to get you ready and let you know positive things and talk to you, you know, get you ready for the fight, you know. So that's what I like about the team.
Right. Now, another difficult part about amateurs is making weight daily and stuff like that. I mean, do you typically walk what you fight at? And let everyone know what you fight at and what you're walking at right now.
Well, I fight at 165. I would be walking about a little above 165 because when I got back in town, you know, just I had to, you know, grab a good bite to eat because it's so much weight.
Got to celebrate, right? Yeah. You're just national champ.
Yeah.
Now, Chad, let's talk about this because you posted on Facebook a team hasn't done this well from the Metro Detroit area in 30 years, which is great because we're trying to get amateurs back to where we hope to be. But Eric DeLeon was a three-time national champion, right? Three?
Yes.
Or twice?
Yeah, three times.
Three times.
In the same weight class.
Yeah, which is absolutely amazing.
Pounds, yeah.
But a lot of people don't know this, and Isaiah, you're an elite company there. Anthony Barnes, who sits here, is not a national, normally on our show, not a national titleist. Tony Harrison, who went to nationals, also has it. I mean, you are above some big names now, being national champ. I mean, has it sunk in a little bit?
Yeah, man. I mean, it feels real good, you know, but I don't want to, I'm on the radio, so I really don't want to go get all excited, but I'm really excited.
You just want to be humble about
it. I'm really excited, yeah, you know.
We posted this year at the Kronk Gym, we listed everybody that had won it, and I mean, there's just not a lot of people do it, especially that. So you're part of Metro Detroit Golden Gloves history.
Wow. You know, I feel so good, you know. And like I said, you know, I really want to thank my coaches that wasn't there and the coaches that was there for helping me, you know, because even though they wasn't there, I still heard the words, you know, as I hit the bag and they tell me work hard, dig, you know. And it's tremendous help, you know. For the coaches that was there, you know, they helped out tremendously too, you know, just the encouraging words, you know. Can do a lot, you know, can help a lot, you know, and have an impact on the person's behavior in the ring.
He sounds so sweet.
You're getting a fan, Rochelle likes you. Now, Chad, when someone wins, I mean, he goes from third last year to national champ this year. It's an Olympic year this year. Mm-hmm. What is the incentive to stay in amateurs besides develop footwork? Because there is amateurs in pro is so different.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is an Olympic year, but they already had the Olympic trials, so... as far as him to stay amateur to make the Olympic team, he'd have to wait another 4 years, which he's more than ready to make that turn, you know. But I mean, as far as staying in the amateurs, it's all about experience in the amateurs, you know. And I always tell all the kids that I coach and all the men that I coach that are still amateurs that your record doesn't matter, you know. You go out there and you fight. Sometimes you get overmatched, and you know I do that to my guys on purpose because I want to test them. I want to make them better because it doesn't matter if they win or lose. It's all about experience in amateur boxing, and that's what amateur boxing is so great. If you're going to take it to the next step, which would be professional, get as much experience as you can. You know, that's what it's all about.
Now we were talking about how the coaches work, where we only take a few coaches out there. Talk a little bit about the adjustments because they obviously. Have their own coaches back home. Not all the coaches get to travel. How do you fill out that process going to Salt Lake City? Do you get to work with them before the trip a little bit?
Yeah, we do get to work with them a little before the trip. And like I said, this year Isaiah was he was there last year, so I got to help out in the corner with him last year also, and so was Marcus Carter. The other boxer that was on the team last year was Cortez Todd. So those three I got to work with a little bit last year. Isaiah's coach Greg was out in Las Vegas last year with him, but he couldn't make it this year. And basically, I just from being around boxing and going to all the shows and the Golden Gloves, you kind of know how everybody fights. Everybody has their little different styles, and you know I just work with what they have. I mean they are what they are, and there's nothing I could do to change them out there. I just try and push them to do everything they can do. At their best, you know, put their best potential out there. So,
now Isaiah, as you're sitting out there and Chad's in your corner, do you ever sit there and think Chad was in the ring with Floyd Mayweather Jr.? Did you know that?
Yeah, I heard stories about it. You know, and I also knew by the way he trained his guys that he's one heck of a trainer. You mm-hmm. know, so I knew pretty much from what I already knew, and with his courage of words, I knew I was going to take it, but. I didn't know I was going to make it this far, you know, and it's through the grace of God and, you know, the motivational words that was given to me, so.
Very nice. We got to touch on the – because I hinted at it. Chad, you shared the ring at one time in the amateurs with maybe the best ever TBE or if you believe it, or definitely the most popular boxer in there.
Yeah.
Floyd Mayweather Jr. from the west side of the state at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't the same kid we see now. Tell us a little bit about that story when you ran into him in the ring.
Well, I mean, it's 20 years ago. It was 1996, trying out for the 96 Olympic team. I was 17 years old. And Floyd was 19 at the time, and it was a National Golden Glove, same tournament that Isaiah just won, and it was a qualifier for the 96 trials. And I fought Floyd. I knew who Floyd was for probably the couple years before that, just from being around Michigan. I'm from Toledo originally. That's where I fought out of. But everybody knew Floyd. He was number one in the world. You know, he just won the Pan Am Games. He, you know, everybody knew who he was in amateur boxing. And you know, he was in the same weight class as me, and I knew maybe one time we could meet up. And I met him, and I won my first two fights at the Nationals. And my third fight, the third day, I fought Floyd in the quarterfinals. And I remember what my coach told me still to this day. He said, "You have nothing to lose. Let your hands go, because nobody knows who you are." You know, I was a senior in high school. I was on my spring break, and all my friends went to Florida without me, and I went to the National Golden Gloves and got in the ring with Floyd. I danced with Floyd Mayweather to a close decision. Yeah.
How cool is that? I mean, that would be that's like really, playing baseball really cool. with like Mark McGuire or something like that, or Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really cool. A lot of amateur experience. Chad, tell us a little bit what's changed in the tournament since you were in there, for people that are curious about national Golden Gloves over the last 20 years. What changes have we seen?
To be honest, there hasn't been many changes with the Golden Gloves tournament. It's always been the toughest tournament in boxing, and it still is to this day. You have 32 franchises, they call them, like that compete in the National Golden Gloves. Metro Detroit Golden Gloves is one franchise out of 32, and there's 31 other franchises in the country that bring a team. So you have 320 boxers at the tournament. There's 10 weight classes. Times 32 teams is 320 boxers. So each weight class would have 32 boxers that make it to the Nationals, that win their local or regional tournament. But as far as the tournament changing, I don't think it's changed much. It's they have the same rules as when I was boxing 20 years ago, and it's good. No need to change it. If it's not broke, don't change it. And the Golden Gloves is still the number one tournament in amateur boxing, I believe.
We're so impressed with your modesty, Isaiah. I'm going to ask you a question here. Pound for pound on the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves team, who's the best boxer, pound for pound?
I mean, are we talking about at all the weight divisions?
Yeah, pound for pound.
Well, of course, because I'm just, I would say myself, because, you know.
You can say yourself.
You can say yourself.
Yeah, so I would say myself, but there is one guy that would keep up with me, you know, Marcus Carter. You know, he hits like a Mack truck, man. You gotta see him in action, you know. But besides him, I would say myself, you know, I do got a hard left hand and a hook of right, so I would say myself.
Yeah, Marcus couldn't make it, but Marcus Carter was supposed to be on the show. Here's a guy that won Sportsman Award last year, right? The Sportsmanship Award. Mm-hmm. And we have another winner of that, Tommy Robinson, won it this year. Basically, what does the Sportsmanship Award, how do they award that? What do they see over 5 days that allows them to be nominated for that?
The Sportsmanship Award typically goes to the third place, the bronze medalist. There's two bronze medalists in each weight class, because and when it's the final four, there's two boxers that lose, and then the two that go in the final. So they base the sportsmanship trophy on not just your fight that you lost and how you carry yourself, but throughout the whole tournament, how you carry yourself. And I believe the way that our whole team from Metro Detroit carried themselves, if every one of our boxers would have made it to the semifinals, every one of our boxers would have won the sportsmanship trophy. There wasn't one team out there that stuck together like our team. All the boxers got up every morning at 6 in the morning for weigh-ins, even if they're knocked out in the first round of the tournament. And they went all week. Every boxer was at the weigh-ins to support the guys that were still in the tournament. Not one other team did that. We were the only team that stuck together Everybody saw our Metro Detroit Golden Gloves jackets everywhere we went. We always together.
Which are sweet looking.
Yeah, very nice, very nice.
You're not biased or anything, Brad. No,
right. You know, and that made a big difference for the guys that won, too. All the support all the way through, you know. And we were out in Salt Lake. We had three boxers to a room. So, like in Isaiah's room, who are you rooming with, Isaiah?
I was rooming with, Davion. And Twin.
Okay, yeah. So he roomed with Davion Wilkes, our 123-pounder, who lost the first night, a close decision. And then Twin, who is Tommy Robinson. We call him Twin. He has a twin brother, Tony. The guy that lost the first day, he was in the room with these guys, and he supported them all the way through. Got up every morning, go to the weigh-ins all week long. You know, it was just the whole team was special. And talented, and shocked a lot of people, and it shocked everybody that was at the tournament because we took second place overall for the team points, and that's unbelievable. as small of an area as Metro Detroit is, Texas won the team trophy first place, but Texas, everybody knows that's a huge state. They have thousands of boxers, and our little community, Wayne County, and
a little bit of Wayne
and Washtenaw, and one gym from Monroe County. Make up our Golden Gloves compared to all the rest of the teams, the franchises they call them all around the country. Like we took second place out of all that. That's something to be said right there.
Yeah, such rich history too. Joe Lewis, part of that history, you know, in such a name with Detroit. I mean, it's proud to walk in a gym, I imagine, or in an arena like Salt Lake City and just represent Detroit, because Detroit, Frank Garza says it best. You know, Las Vegas, they think they're the fight capital, but Detroit, realistically, is probably the fight capital, and eventually you got to go through Detroit.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
So feels pretty good to walk in there, especially with those new colors, which are bronze and black. I mean, those uniforms are sweet.
Very nice.
Got to give a shout-out to Wurz Barnes for designing those, man. Those are nice. Chad, the life of a – really quickly, I know we got to go to what's on tap here, Jimmy, but really quickly give our listeners an idea, a life of a boxing trainer. We were talking. We saw you Friday night
Pro
where
Fights
were we?
Russell,
right? The Pro Fights, one of the Quinn brothers, and then Saturday. Give an idea of what your week was, to give an idea to the listeners what can happen to a boxing trainer.
Well, this past week was it was really busy. It's not usually as busy. But this past week, last Friday, I was had a professional boxer, Robert O'Quinn. He scored a first-round knockout, or TKO, Friday night in Detroit. Myself and my other trainer, Paul, that I coach with, Paul Susie, we woke up Saturday morning and drove to Chicago. And we had another professional boxer that trains at our gym that we train, Dwayne Williams. He fought in Chicago Saturday night. He walked out of there with a draw, which was, I don't know if we're going back to Chicago anymore, because it was a terrible, terrible decision. He clearly won every round of that fight, but he got out of there with a draw, and then we left Chicago at about 11:45, and I made it back home by 4:00 in the morning, and took a shower and went right to the airport and got on a plane to Salt Lake City.
And it wasn't a direct flight to Salt Lake City.
No, we had a layover in Las Vegas. And then we went on to Salt Lake, and I was up for 41 hours straight.
Jeez.
And I finally got to bed on Sunday night. But it was, and then all week long, every day, I, you know, get up at 6 in the morning for weigh-ins, and a couple guys on the team had trouble making weight. Isaiah did not. He had no problem making his weight, but there was a few boxers on the team that needed to cut weight every night. So I was up with them till midnight or after midnight working them. Getting them, sweating them down so they can make weight the next morning. And so all the people that think I go on all these vacations all the time, it's most times it's not a vacation, it's work. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it definitely you aren't enjoying.
Yeah.
Altitude, did it affect you at all, Isaiah?
I mean,
everyone thinks Salt Lake City altitude.
Yeah, not really. But you just got to stay, you know, active so you can get used to the air. Once you get used to the air, everything's, mm-hmm. you know, it runs smoothly.
How about, Chad, the altitude, as bad as everyone says, Salt Lake City?
I don't think it was as bad as what we were thinking. We had everybody kind of work out when we got there and go for a run just to get their lungs acquainted to the air and, you know, stuff like that. But And, you know, the way I look at it, everybody in the country goes to Salt Lake City. And, it, you know, so they're breathing
they're
the same air
same
we
air.
Are.
Yep.
I mean, unless they're from Utah, which is the Rocky Mountain franchise. But, you know, everybody else had to deal with it, too. So we weren't at that bad of a disadvantage. So,
all right. Well, Jimmy's got to do what's on tap. And then we're going to go to a quick break. And we'll be back with Chad and Isaiah really quick. And then Stephanie just arrived here, too. So the show keeps going. Episode 190 on PodcastDetroit.com. Thank you.
All right, so we're moving on to What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. All right, starting off with boxing, May 25th in Beijing, China, we have Amant Ruen Rowing versus Jean-Rial Casimiro, a rematch, 12 rounds for Ruen Rowing's IBF flyweight title. In Hollywood, California, we have Hector Tanajara Jr. versus Francesco Medel, 6 rounds for the lightweights. May 27th, Niagara Falls, New York, CBS Sportsnet. We have Jarrell Miller versus Nick Guavis, 10 rounds for the heavyweights. In Paris, we have Mehdi Amar versus Sirhi Demchenko, 12 rounds for the vacant European lightweight heavyweight title. Atlantic City, New Jersey, we have Isaiah Seldon versus Eddie Edmond, 6 rounds for the super middleweights. May 28th, Glendale, Arizona, CBS Sportsnet, we have David Avanesyan versus Shane Mosley, 12 rounds for Avanesyan's WBA interim welterweight title. San Antonio, PBC on Fox Sports 1, we have Miguel Vasquez versus Eric Bone, 10 rounds for the junior welterweights. At Bacolod City in the Philippines, we have Donnie Nitzitz versus Raul Garcia, 12 rounds for Nitzitz's WBO junior flyweight title. Glasgow, Scotland, we have Mikel Di Rocco versus Ricky Burns, 12 rounds for the vacant WBA regular junior welterweight title. Acapulco, Mexico, we have Ray Vargas versus Alexis Caborn. Kabor, 12 rounds for the WBC Junior Featherweight Eliminator. In Poland, we have Krzysztof Wladaczyk versus Kai Kurazara, 12 rounds for the Cruiserweights. May 29th, Liverpool, England, we have Alunga Junior Makabu versus Tony Bellew, 12 rounds for the vacant WBC Cruiserweight title. Moving on to MMA, May 24th, we have ADW, Abu Dhabi Warriors 4 in the United Arab Emirates. We have EFN Fight Night Global 48 in Moscow, Russia. May 27th, ONE Championship 43, Kingdom of Champions in Bangkok, Thailand. May 27th, AFC Aspira Fighting Championship 38 in Sao Paulo, Brazil. May 28th, YBN Young Blood Night 7 in Bavaria, Germany. Global Warriors FC 3 Night of Champions in Ontario, Canada. Sham Aftershock in Kansas City, Missouri. May 28th, we also have Saturday Night Fights Round 11 in Canada. We also have on May 28th, HIT FC HIT Fighting Championship 2 in Zurich, Switzerland. May 28th, Shamrock FC Aftershock in Kansas City, Missouri. ACB 39, Young Eagles 10 in Saratov, Russia. May 29th, UFC Fight Night 88, Almeida versus Garbrandt in Las Vegas, Nevada. And May 29th, Pancreas Sapporo in Hadako, Japan. And once again, that is What's on Tap, sponsored by Falling Down Beer Company. And we're going to go to a quick break, and we'll be right back.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Welcome back to the Undercard. It's episode 190. We are now officially joined by another pro boxer in here, in some more Run DMC. We're joined by Stephanie Spear, who we're going to get to know in a minute here. We're going to finish up with Chad and Isaiah. Isaiah won national champions at the Golden Gloves at 165. We've been talking to him, his coaches, and Chad. Oops,
sorry,
there we go.
That was me.
If you want to support amateur boxing, Chad has his ear to the ground. Every time I'm talking to him, he's going to a different amateur event. What's the best place besides USA Boxing to see what's going on in amateurs if people want to get more involved in the amateurs or see where shows are?
On the website, usaboxing.org, you can go on there and find every sanctioned show in the country, including the ones here in Michigan, are all on usaboxing.org. And then there's also another site, and I think it's MISUBA, I believe. I'm not sure of the site, but it's Michigan Amateur Boxing. And that's a website that has all the Michigan shows, only Michigan shows. But you can find all the Michigan shows on the usaboxing.org link on the website there.
And typically not a lot of money to get into these shows. You get a lot of entertainment. You get to see a lot of people that are in boxing, sometimes not to just be in the sport, but it's something to help them as an extracurricular activity. So you're supporting somebody in their lifestyle. So usaboxing.org. Also, we're the Metro Detroit Golden Gloves, or what are we? DetroitGoldenGloves.org.
Yes. Yes.
And you can find out more information. Isaiah Jones, really quickly, who did you bring with us to give a shout out? And they can talk.
I have my coach. My coach Greg here, my coach Ken. You know, I look at my coach Greg as a father figure. You know, since I stepped into boxing, you know, he's been sheltering me and showing me a lot of different paths to go and the right way to go, you know, and the right way of doing things, you know. So I took to him, and I've been with him almost 3 years now.
And you two gentlemen, what can you say about Isaiah that we don't know already?
Well, it ain't too much more I can say about him. He's a great young man, very hard worker. And when I say hard worker, I mean very hard worker. You know, I have to slow the young man down. He overtrains. He don't undertrain. This young man overtrains, so I have to stop him, give him a couple of days off, get him off his feet, because if I don't, he'll run himself crazy training. So he's one of the many young men that I've trained over the years, but I have to say he's one of the exceptional ones that I've trained over the years, and I've trained a lot of fighters. So it's not it's not too much more I can say about this young man. He's something special. He's something special.
Do you have anything you wanted to add to?
Pretty much Coach Greg had said it all. It's just awesome to watch those two guys work together. You know, it's just a phenomenal thing. I'm blessed to be in this position to have a coach like Coach Greg. He actually did some coaching for Floyd Mayweather down a few years, maybe when he was getting ready for the Olympics. So Coach Greg, he's one of the great trainers we have here.
You know, talk a little bit about what style do you see Isaiah Jones? Who does he remind you of as a fighter you might have watched in the past on TV or in person? As a fighter, who does he remind you of?
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. He don't really remind me of anybody. You know, he's like I say, he's a special young man. He has a unique style. You know, it's not anything this young man can't do. He can box, good boxer, even though he liked to fight all the time. But he's a good boxer, good counter puncher, got a good chin on him, which I love. Got a good chin. Young man got a heck of a chin on him. And he's more talented when it comes down to boxing. Now, when it comes down to basketball and stuff, football, he probably ain't no good. But you put some gloves on him and put him in the ring, and just let him go. You know, but the young man is multi-talented when it comes down to boxing. He's a good inside fighter, a good outside fighter. He has good defense, good offense. You know, he can do a little everything. You know, all he have to do is stay on that straight and narrow path. And it won't be no stopping this young man.
He says he doesn't remind you of anybody. Isaiah, who do you try to emulate? Who do you like out there right now?
I really don't try to imitate anyone. You know, like I do watch old school fighters, so I can get a lot of ways and the styles of people, you know, that box different styles out there. You know, so what I do is, you know, the, how I'm training my and the guys that I train with, you know, I just use different things that they do and put, use my own style, you know, and watch different fights, and I just put it with my own style and make my own style, you know. So it's kind of hard to say that I fight like anybody else because I try to fight like, you know, myself.
Well, how did you get involved in boxing before we let you go, too? You didn't really touch base on that. And when did you get started, and how did you meet the person to the right and left of you here?
Well, what happened was I got into boxing, you know. When I was younger, I always was boxing, you know. My grandfather was a champion, too, David the Machine Gun Braxton. But it was only so long that I boxed with him, you know. And I started going my own way, doing my own thing, so... And then I figured out, you know, that I went to this one coach, and he was playing with my time, you know. He wasn't a pretty good coach. But I saw Coach Greg. We were at a tournament. I think I was getting ready for the Golden Gloves. And I went into the tournament, and somehow I can get my book, but he told me I wasn't going to be able to make it because transportation reason. Ever since then, I got Coach Greg's number, and... We've been linked up ever since then. You know, I can't come to the gym every day, work hard. You know, we develop a relationship, a strong bond, and he has brought, you know, angels in my life too to support me as well. So,
really quickly, what's your overall amateur record as you're closing out your amateur career, as you said earlier?
Well, my amateur record, I couldn't tell you exactly.
Okay,
but. I only lost four, so it's not it's not bad at all.
How many fights you got under your belt?
I could say at least a good 40.
Okay.
Okay. Wow. That's good.
Yeah. And Chad over here, how did you get involved in boxing way back in the day in Toledo?
My dad used to he was a boxing fan. He never boxed, but he used to take my brother and I down to the Toledo Golden Gloves at the sports arena in downtown Toledo every year to watch the Golden Gloves. And we went for about 4 years in a row. And then my brother was 12 and I was 10. And my brother and I we wanted to do it. And so my dad took us to a gym and been there ever since. I started when I was 10 years old.
And when did you realize that, I mean, you have a day job also, but you go train after and it's such a part of your life. When did you realize that you wanted boxing to be part of your life after you were done boxing?
After I fought for 12 years and then I started the job that I'm still currently doing. I'm in the union labors up here in Detroit and working a lot of hours and stuff. And then I kind of got out of boxing and I remember... Like, I was out of the gym for about 6 months, and I kept finding myself every other day waking up in the middle of the night shadow boxing in front of my mirror in my room, like, out of nowhere, and I'm like, what is going on? I just couldn't get it out of me, and I moved up here in 2003 for work up to Michigan, and once I moved up here, I found a gym, Dynamic Boxing Club in Westland, and I've been there ever since the gym opened.
Let's talk a little bit about Dynamic really quick. We've had your partner there who's there. He's a living legend. Introduce Paul to everybody. And how many weight classes and how many years has he been a champ? It's like
he's Paul Soucy, 76 years old now. He fights every year in the ringside national tournament in Kansas City, Missouri. He's won it four times. He's been there six times. He's won it four times, and he keeps saying he wants to go back and do it again. Obviously, he needs a doctor's note for that, a doctor's permission to go, because he's getting up there in age, but he's determined to go, and he said he has four belts, and he wants one more. He has five kids and only four belts, so he wants to go back one more and get another belt. So we'll see how that goes for him. Hopefully, he can make it, and he can get in shape, and he's physically able to go. That would be great for him.
That's awesome. And then Chad, the girl to the left of me, is going to be fighting on the 10th. But you also got a fighter on the 10th. Dwayne Williams is going to be back in Detroit fighting. So I want to encourage everybody to go out and support boxing. It's May 10th. It's at Motor City.
June 10th.
June 10th.
Night of Knockout 7.
We're past
I know.
May 10th.
Jeez. June 10th, Night of Knockouts. Carlos is bringing fighting back to the Motor City Casino. But if you see Chad, definitely he's one of the nicest guys in boxing. You got to say hi to him. Yeah. And, you know, he's got that rich history, too. And I want to thank Isaiah for coming in. Also, that's an awesome treat to bring your belt. I want to thank your coaching staff. But best of luck in your career, and I'm sure we're going to hear good things from you, and we'll have you back in when you're a pro, okay?
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, definitely.
All right, we're going to go to our last break.
Can I get a quick shout-out for Isaiah's boxing gym, his Jabs Boxing Gym. It's in Birmingham. Yes. That's where he's putting in all his work to get that national title.
Willie Fortune's out there. Who else is working out there right now? I see it every day. Oh, I just saw... Ballard's out there, right? James Ballard's working out there too, so you got a lot of talent out there.
Does he do it out there or in the Eastern Market?
No. James Ballard, everyone's working out at the Birmingham one, I believe. Yes. So, yeah. We're going to go to our last quick break, and we're going to have Stephanie Spear here on the other side. Thank you very much, Isaiah, again, Chad. Thank you.
Thank you.
This is a previously recorded episode.
Thank you.
Welcome back to the Undercard episode 190. Chad's still sticking around here for a second or two, and we are joined. I apologize, I got your name wrong earlier. I'm going to get it right. Stephanie Spehar.
Yep, you got it.
Iron Soldier, as your trainer says. Detroit Knuckles coach Rick. We were just on a commercial break talking a little bit about it. I'm going to talk to your coach here for a second. You're telling me that you bounce around to gyms. Tell us this Detroit Knuckles approach.
Well, Detroit Knuckles was something that I gave myself, you know, in regards to me associating with various coaches around town. For those that know me, Coach Rick, they know that I attend the Detroit Boxing Jungle often, which is where I started. And just being in the game, you come around coaches, you know, through sparring and training, and they always were able to just invite me to their location for sparring. You know, I've been to the Crunk Gym, made associates and friends there, World's Best. I've been over to Dynamic, where Chad is from, Downtown Boxing. Basically, all over Detroit, you know. So I gave myself, because I associated with all trainers throughout the city, not just one particular gym, I gave myself that moniker, Detroit Knuckles, and that's what I'm sticking with.
All right, I like it. Stephanie, you get a call from Carlos. When did you know you were fighting here, June 10th?
I got an idea roughly 2 months ago, I'd say.
2 months ago?
2 months ago. It was kind of a him and Han thing, mm-hmm. And then I'd say it was for sure about a month ago.
And you haven't fought in a couple of years. Why are you coming back to boxing, and how did you come about Coach Rick?
I started just doing the boxing classes, and I ran into a guy from actually Royal Oak. His name was Eric, and he was like, "Hey, would you like to train?" You know, I was like, "Absolutely." You know, would you like to you know, get some fights under your belt and whatnot? And I said, "Absolutely." So I started doing that, and pretty much just training with him and another guy named Bo. I came across Rick. He had a girl that I was sparring, and I really liked his technique. He was very, in particular, very picky, which is what I needed, considering I don't have any amateur fights or anything like that. So I kind of just rolled with it.
All right. Why the two-year break? Was there a specific reason?
No, pretty much I just wasn't ready for a fight yet. You know, I had the one fight that I lost to Jasmine Mayweather Reed, and I got that call maybe 3 days prior, and I jumped head in. You know, I didn't care. I'm like, let's do it. So...
I got to ask your coach, because he's seen you every day in the gym, these various gyms across Detroit. Why should the world know about Stephanie Spehar? What makes her special? And why should people come June 10th and watch her fight?
Well, shout out to Coach Bo, which is another example of myself as being Detroit Knuckles, because he's way in Novi. But he and I met at the gym on 13 Mile and Woodwork, which is the gym that Glenn was at the time, I believe. But, you know, shout out to him, because he and I texted each other, and he asked me about a female because he wanted to see what Stephanie could do. And at the time, I had a girl training, and we met up at the Detroit Boxing Jungle, and they exchanged 4 rounds. And like a month or 2 months later, I got word that there was a fight, and they were looking for a female on a pro debut. So what I did was I relayed the information to Coach Bo out there at True Fit. And he's like, "Yeah, Steph, she's ready." So he gave me the go ahead, and, you know, I put the paperwork together, And she went in four rounds, gave it what she had. But afterwards, you know, Bo and myself, we sat and we talked about her performance and more so why she's special, because she has the heart, right? And she has a good look for a lady boxer. And he gave me, like, full control. He said, you know what, Rick? Go ahead, do what you got to do with her, and give her what she needs, and keep me posted. So I chose to keep her just training, you know, more so than just going right back into the ring. Training, getting her prepared so that she can give certain looks while in the ring, you know, polishing her up. So now this is, like, our second time around to see exactly if she's learned and to show the people that, hey, the second time around, not only does she have heart and, you know, determination, she's going to show a good show, you know, technique.
And you're fighting a fighter named Carolyn Biskup, and I said I believe she was women's MMA. She comes from women's MMA.
That's correct.
No pressure, because I don't know if you noticed this Conor McGregor talk and Floyd Mayweather talk has gone crazy.
September, what, 17th?
Right? Possibly. And so do you feel a little bit of pressure? You're defending some boxing here.
You know what? I don't. I'm, you know, I got the, like my coach said, I have the heart for it, and I think my mind's in it. You know, I'm just going to go out there and do what I got to do, and it'll show for itself, I think. You know, I think she's going to come out charging that MMA style, but I'm just going to keep calm and just, you know, work those angles.
Now, is this something that you want to pursue past this fight for a while?
I do.
That's good. Heather Hardy, who we've had on the show, from Brooklyn, New York, Gleason's gym. She's worked really hard to get on Lou DiBella's cards, and now she's on Lou DiBella cards, and she's trying to break that ceiling to be on the televised events. I really do think women's boxing, although a little bit later than women's MMA, is going to have a breakthrough year here, maybe at the end of this year or next year. And it's not just going to be a random Layla Ali that shoots up, or it's not going to be just a random, you know, Christy Martin, but it's going to be a group of you guys leading the sport, and I think we're going to see it a lot, and I'd like to see you a part of that.
Absolutely. I would love to be a part of it.
I mean, you agree, Jimmy? I mean, it seems like there's going to be a run on it.
No,
I really do.
I totally agree. I think by the end of the year, probably into next year, you're going to see women's boxing skyrocket to where you'll have, like you said, besides a Layla Ali, you know, she was like kind of like the one offshoot. But, you know, there's a lot of people that know like Ronda Rousey and Holly Holmes and like women's MMA fighters. And I think within the next year, year and a half, you're going to see a lot of people also know female boxers' names coming up that they'll be able to say, oh, yeah, I know who that is, or I know who that is. So I agree. I 100% agree.
Carolyn, any boxers out there that you watch, that you like watching? Anybody pro out there that...
I am in love with Manny Pacquiao.
Okay.
I love his style. He's just, you know, everything about him, he's just very humble. And I think that's why I fell in love with him from the first place, you know. Versus, so to speak, Floyd Mayweather. No offense, but the money team, you know, I feel like he's a little bit more humble.
All right, so you picked a good one, Manny Pacquiao. Gotta ask Coach Rick, can she throw a 7-punch combination in the second and a half like Manny Pacquiao could, or no?
I believe that.
Just moves right back.
The thing about it,
not many people can do it. So
all jokes aside, you know, in regards to female boxing, one thing about it is that if you are entertaining and if you can show technique and you can grab fans, then we can take female boxing and make it household station. You follow me, events. So all women that's into it have to show that they're like the actual professional guy fighters and can perform on that level. But as far as Stephanie, you know, she trains with me. Detroit Knuckles, the one that they all hate. But only thing I can say is you guys just keep paying attention. And if it's something that you want to show us that we're lacking, then you can email us. Shout out to Instagram at Detroit Knuckles, or hit us up on my Facebook page, Detroit Knuckles, you know, and we'll see what's happening. But I believe in her, and she works hard. You know, it's took us over a year to get back in the ring, but it's to where we don't want to make mistakes. We want to be prepared, because female boxing is, like, you know, shallow. So in order to make people really like it, you got to show them something to like. And that's my main focus with what I do. I try to make sure everything is where it's supposed to be before I display it, you know, with all respect to boxing.
What's your favorite punch to throw?
I like my hook, my left hook. Yep.
All right. To the body or the?
Nope, to the head.
To the head?
To the head, yep.
And typically, Coach Rick will call out, like, what combination might you throw that with? I don't think Carolyn's listening, so.
You know, it depends. It depends if I'm fighting.
You can't stop what you can. Yeah.
I mean, it depends if I'm going to go orthodox or southpaw.
Uh-huh.
So depending on that, and, I mean, Rick will just throw some crazy stuff out there sometimes, but he makes a lot of sense.
Right.
You know?
She's capable. You follow me? She's ready.
Yep.
It just depends on.
You notice she said southpaw or orthodox.
Yeah.
So
that'll be awesome.
It don't matter. Come with it.
You right-handed or are you?
No,
left-handed?
I'm a very dominant left-hander.
Okay.
Yep.
So when you first started off boxing 2 years ago, were you able to switch between orthodox and southpaw?
I actually started off orthodox, and then we kind of flipped over to southpaw, and then kind of went back to orthodox. So pretty much, I'm comfortable with both.
Now, as we were talking women's boxing, Coach Rick was telling us that he had some haters out there, so I was going to give him a moment to address the haters.
It's not so much of addressing the haters, but I just want everybody to receive what they have, you know, coming. You know, all the trainers that work hard, give them their due. You know, the promoters that spend their time and money, give them their due. And I want to give those people who go against or kind of like shun people that's working hard, I call them haters.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to give them their recognition as well, you know, because it's like negative and positive. You have to have both in order to become what you need to be. And that's what I always believed in, having both. And that's why they can't stop me. You know, I'm the youngest coach in Detroit. And for those guys that have came against Detroit Knuckles, Coach Rick, just let everyone know that, yeah, I know him, and yeah, we lost to him. And with that said, just pay attention. You know, Detroit Knuckles, that's me.
All right. Once again, tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com for this event. It's happening June 10th. It's Night of Knockouts at Motor City Casino. Ring Girl Sarah is actually going to be working that event. Or no, you're not 21 on that one. But
yeah.
The Ring Girls will be working that event. Jimmy will be there. Everyone will be there from the staff and stuff like that. As you move through your career, typically the first few fights in a pro career are still developmental fights, but you've had some time with Coach Rick over these years. So I guess the question is for both you and your trainer here really quick. Do you think you still got some developmental issues through these fights, or because you've worked together for 2 years getting ready for this fight that we've moved on to that next stage of learning in the ring a little bit?
I believe throughout my whole career, it's going to be a learning phase, you know, whether I've been doing this 10 years, you know, or 6 months. I believe each fight is going to be a learning phase, you know, just take what you got and roll with it for the most part.
Yeah, I agree. I'm the type of trainer, I like to elevate, you know, on different levels, just like you go into fights, your very first fight, pro debut, you kind of like make it even. And then from there, you pick a more challenging person. So it's same as with training. A lot of my fighters, they have more technique in them than they actually are really familiar with. It's in them, but throughout time, they have to catch up with the training. So, yeah, she's going to show improvement every time you see her. Every time she comes in the gym, she's going to learn something extra. You know, if it's not speed, if it's not defense, reflexes, she's going to always learn something, you know, from here on out.
Now, as you guys are traveling from gym to gym doing the Detroit Knuckles Coach Rick plan, which is awesome, there's not a lot of women out there, though, to box and spar. So how are you guys addressing this in practice? I assume you get in the ring with men and go at it.
Yeah, we definitely get in the ring with men, but there has been a few female, shout-out to Empire Boxing, that I've been sparring with. They've definitely been giving me good work, so that's nice.
It's our friend Johnny.
That's right.
Love Johnny. Yeah.
He's a good guy. Good guy, for sure.
Yeah, he's got a couple talented females over there that are really good. Got a really neat boxing setup, too, over there. We love it over there.
Mm-hmm.
But you have gotten in the ring with some guys because there aren't a lot of women sparring partners around.
Absolutely.
And does that help you when you get back in with a female to with speed or power or anything?
Yeah, I mean, everybody has a different style and a different technique when it comes to boxing, and I feel like men versus women are a little more, I mean, for punches, you can definitely feel more, I'll say that. So if anything, I've learned to take a punch.
Now we're about 3 weeks out, is that correct, Jimmy? About 3 weeks out?
Yeah, about that.
Coach Rick, go through a little bit of your training process here. Typically, a fighter the last week is worried about cutting weight and kind of relaxing a little bit. What 3 weeks out for Coach Rick, top fighter, what's going through in the last 3 weeks?
Well, me personally, I always monitor the fighter's weight. You know, I monitor how much stamina the fighter has, you know, throughout the whole training camp. As far as training, running, I monitor that. How many jabs, I monitor that. Ab work, I monitor that. Defense. I'm kind of keen on reflexes and defense. You know, she'll tell you, I'm always asking for sharper or harder.
Always.
Always. Because I feel as though balance is the most important thing in boxing. And you have to apply balance in your punch, balance in your movement and everything. So I'm real technical, you know, and that's not a bad thing. But for those people on that level that know boxing, they'll understand. And I just look for the best. You know, my main thing is stamina and sharpness.
A lot of sparring.
Yeah.
And she seems like a fighter that's getting their road work in. Sometimes we'll get fighters in here that I know aren't doing their road work.
She's in great shape.
Yeah, she seems ready already.
It's Detroit Knuckles, Coach Rick. She's ready. She's ready today. Where's Scale at? She's ready right now.
Give us an idea of what kind of road work you're doing right now at 3 weeks out.
I like to run at least 5 miles every day. Every day. Before that, I was doing anywhere from 8 to 10. But, you know, when you're sparring, you feel it, you know. And the last thing that I want to do is get in that ring and spar these females, and my legs are hit, you know.
Mm-hmm. And that goes back to Coach Rick. Typically, and I believe it was Chad, and he can come in here, with the O'Quinn brothers, I believe you don't like them to do road work the last week, right, before a fight? You kind of get it down a little bit, save their legs?
By the last week, if they're not prepared for the fight, then we're not fighting.
Exactly.
By the last week,
where is Chad talking? Oh, he's over in the corner. That's right.
Both of the fighters that I train, if they're not ready by the last week of training camp, they're not ready to fight. So
exactly.
1 week to go, 1 week out, they're ready to go.
Right.
So basically, it's just sharpening them up, keeping them sharp.
Yep.
You know, they already have their routine. They already know, you know, they already know what we've been working on for the past 6-8 weeks, you know, beforehand. And we just keep them sharp, keep them ready, you know.
That's true.
We got to ask really quickly, Coach Rick brought some people with him. Give a shout out to the people you have in the studio with us today.
I want to give a shout out to Stephanie's sis over here. That's Shell. That's my buddy right there. And this is my assistant, lady coach right here, Jay. She helps me out a lot as far as prepping fighters and making sure scheduling and stuff is together.
You guys could say hi.
And
you guys are on.
Hello, everybody.
Just got to talk in the mic. Well, really, we should probably be talking to Carolyn's sister because she probably knows about that left hook more than
Carol. Who?
Sorry, Stephanie. Speehar, sister.
Oh, my gosh.
Who'd I say?
You said Carolyn.
Shout out to Carolyn.
You're thinking the
shout out to Carolyn. Shout out to
it's been a long week already. We should be really talking to Stephanie's sister here. She probably knows about the left hook a little bit. There had to be one fight instance over a career of being sisters.
Well, no, because I'm the oldest of five and she's the baby, so my other sister would probably be more apt to talk about the left hook. But she trains a lot, she works hard, she goes to the gym in the morning, she works all day, she spars at night, she runs, she eats well, she sleeps, she's ready.
All right,
she's ready.
Well, we're gonna let Stephanie get the last word here. And Stephanie, you got a fight here, it's coming up June 10th. What do you want to tell Carolyn? What's she got to worry about?
I'm just going to let it speak for itself, man.
All right.
I got nothing to say.
All right.
It'll speak for itself on June 10th.
We got to thank all our guests. We got to thank Coach Rick over here. We got to thank Stephanie Spihar. We got to thank Coach Chad Jackillard. Did I get it right?
Jackillard.
Jeez, man. I've heard it's a compliment if I mess up on somebody's name, though.
No, it was just normal.
Yeah. We want to thank Isaiah Jones for coming in here with his championship belt. Marcus, Motown Bully Carter couldn't make it, but we're going to try to reschedule him some other time. Cool. And Tommy Robinson, we'll try to reschedule with him. But we want to thank all our guests. And Ring Girl Sarah is going to be doing... I'm going to mess up on this, too. The Miss Hair USA Supranatural.
National.
National. Yeah. Supranatural.
You got the Supra part right,
Supra.
Though.
Yes. Supranat. So good luck on that. But you're having a going away trip, our party.
Yep.
Do you want people to know about that? You can talk about it.
Yeah. I'm just having a send-off party. It's kind of like a... I don't know.
Good luck.
It's kind of like, yeah, it's kind of like a... Yeah.
Good
it's
luck.
It's like a good luck
good
thing.
Good luck at the Miss USA.
Yeah.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for listening. Episode 190 in the books. We'll be back next Tuesday. Take care, guys. Thank you so much, guys.
Cool. Yeah,
this is a previously recorded episode.